Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
What does it mean to be depressed? It is unique sadness. It is an overwhelming feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. It is being bottomed out. It is running out of bullets. And with determination and God's grace, you and I can change. And that's the good news. So a lot of times people depress us and circumstances depress us.
The truth is, God wants to liberate you from depression. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, Depression, where he shares proven truth to help you experience God's comfort and peace in the midst of the dark cloud of depression. That message is coming up next on The Winning Walk. Before we jump into Dr. Young's message, there's an encouraging resource being offered this month that you may find especially helpful in these challenging times. It's Dr. Young's booklet called Loneliness, and it's our way to say thanks for your donation today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching people all over the world through this program. People everywhere deal with the devastating effects of loneliness, and it's only gotten worse in recent months. But God created you for a life of fellowship and fruitfulness as you learn to love others just as He loves you. And Dr. Young's booklet will help you embrace that life of community and relationship. So call now to request your copy of Loneliness when you give to keep this program encouraging you and many others around the world. Call 1-800-350-9255. That's 1-800-350-WALK. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Depression.
Take your Bible, turn to the middle of it, to the book of Psalms. There's 150 of them. Of those 150 chapters, Psalms can be divided into five different books. Now, we're going to look at Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 today. Actually, those are not two Psalms. It's just one Psalm. And chapter 42 marks the beginning of the second book of Psalms. Remember, there's five divisions. You don't see it in your text. This is the second division. Now, the first division of Psalm 1 through chapter 41, the primary word in Hebrew for God is Yahweh or Jehovah. It is the family name. It is the covenant name of God. Remember, God had a contract, a covenant with His people, the Jews. And this is the covenant name. Beginning with chapter 42 that we're going to look at today, we see the name now is Jehovah or Yahweh. It is the name Elohim is used primarily. That is the word for the living God. That is the word for the universal God. So we see the book transition there in the emphasis of the psalmist. We look at 42 and 43 and they belong together. By the way, the verses and the chapters were not a part of the manuscripts we have, the Bible. And sometimes you read a verse and say, why did they divide that verse there? Or you come to a chapter, you say, well, what is the meaning? This chapter continues really in the next section. Psalm 41 and Psalm 42 is one hymn. One hymn. Who wrote the psalm? One commentator said Hezekiah. I think he pulled that out of heaven. A lot of people believe it's one of the sons of Korah. I want to believe this is also a psalm of David. What David would do would be inspired by God. He would write a psalm and he would give it to the minister of music. He'd say, put the melody to it, put the song to it. And I think this is what we find here. I want to show you how you can understand this is indeed a hymn, and it has three stanzas to it. Look at Psalm 42 as an overview. I think it's very interesting. Verse 1 through verse 4 is the first stanza, okay? And then you have verse 5 is the chorus. Then you have verse number 6 through verse number 10. That's the second stanza, okay? There's the chorus. Verse 11 is identical to verse 5. See it? Same words, same words. Then you have the third stanza. It's Psalm 43, beginning with verse 1. It goes through verse 4. Then you have the fifth verse. That's another chorus, right? That's another chorus. So you have a hymn here that has been written. And now I want us to listen as I read from the New American Standard the chorus of this hymn. Reading verse 5, or it could be verse 10, or it could be verse 5 in the other chapter. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. Now, in the message, this is translated, I think, in a clearer way. I want you to look at it on the screen. This is a translation in the message. Now, I want us to read this together. Would you do that? Listen to it. Read it with me. Why are you down in the dumps? Time out. All 12 of you, read it with me. Here we go. Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix my eyes on God. Soon I'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. Now let's say it like this. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. Say it like that. Here we go. He puts a smile on my face. He's my God. That is the chorus that liberates the psalmist. And we'll see it liberates you and me out of the moments of deep, deep despair and depression. Let's pray together before we teach God's word. Father, speak clearly and directly to us. May we not just hear, but help us to absorb and put your truth in the middle of our bones and our hearts and who we are. And Lord, help me. Help every one of us here to apply your word to ourselves. You speak. Let me get out of the way. Is our prayer made in the name of Jesus Christ, our healing Lord. Amen. A psychologist was addressing a class of would-be psychologists. His topic was manic depression. And when he got through the message, he said, I'm going to give you a little test. He said, here's a man who's walking and shouting and screaming to the top of his voice. And the next minute, he is sitting down crying uncontrollably. Tell me about this person. Young guy lifted his hand. He said, yes. He said, he's a basketball coach. So we talk about depression. Depression, according to the World Health Association, is the number two leading disabler of people in the Western world. Did you get that? Cardiovascular disease is the number one problem medically in the Western world. Depression is the number two problem. There are about 312 or 313 million people in the United States. And any given time, they're between 30 and 40 million of them are depressed. The estimates are that 15% of the population of America takes antidepressants. Depression cost corporate America, listen carefully, over $70 billion a year as they seek to medically help their employees. You're 4 to 1 more likely to have a heart attack if you're depressed than someone who is not depressed. It is a staggering medical problem. In fact, it is the number one medical problem of people in the Western world who are under 44 years of age. See, I barely get under that. And all of us deal with it in different forms, all the way from being down in the dumps or being blue, all the way to clinical depression. Some of you remember the cartoon Peanuts. And you remember when Lucy would go and set up her booth, remember? She'd set up her booth and she'd get behind the booth and Charlie Brown would come up and she would answer all of his problems. And on that booth, it would say sometimes, "The psychiatrist is in 5 cents." Remember? Let me say to you up front, the psychiatrist is not in. I'm not going to pretend to stand here and tell you that I can give you 3 points and a poem and quote a couple of scriptures and whew, shazam, you'll be healed of depression. It doesn't work like that for many people because it is complex, it is circumstantial, it involves people, it involves our past history. But my purpose is to get you and me to think critically and biblically when we deal with depression. That's my purpose, to think biblically and critically when we deal with depression. Now let's try to define it. Someone said that it's taking a lot of diseases and mixing them together and putting them in a wastebasket. What does it mean to be depressed? It is unique sadness. It is an overwhelming feeling of hopelessness and helplessness. It is being bottomed out. It is running out of bullets. It is a battle of fatigue and exhaustion for no real physical reason. Depression, I think, is you take a life and you stick a pin in it and all the air comes out. All the passion, all the zest comes out. And that's the reason depression can be called a crushed spirit. A crushed spirit. Now, so we look at depression and we see it introduced to us in Psalm chapter 42, 43, which I've already said is simply one hymn. And we see how the psalmist became depressed. What is the cause of his depression? It's clear in the scripture, and we're going to move rapidly, not being able to look at all of these verses. You see, the cause of depression is found in several verses. Look at verse 3, the latter part of Psalm 42. He says, "While they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' That will lead you in depression." If there are people around you that all day long, day after day, a problem comes up and they say, "Well, where is your God?" Or a situation comes up and they say, "Well, are you a Christian?" And all day long, they're questioning, they're belittling, they're challenging, day after day after day, "Where is God? Well, if there is a God," and you have people that surround us, and if you're surrounded by individuals like that, let me tell you something, they will beat you up and you'll have to battle with the, as Winston Churchill called it, the black dog. Churchill would say, "The black dog of depression has come into my house." He was talking about darkness, being into a pit where there is no light. And by the way, let me say up front, people say, "Well, if you're a Christian, you can't be depressed." Not so. Many great saints in history battled with depression, with despondency, with negativity, with problems that absolutely overwhelmed them. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, arguably one of the great communicators of the gospel in the last century, always had to face almost every week depression. So don't let anybody out-pious you or out-deal with you, because this is a malady that strikes different people. We see what happened to the psalmist. Everywhere you go, somebody's saying, well, where is God? What about your God? And they're questioning, questioning, questioning. By the way, you can't answer all the questions of the skeptics. You just can't satisfy them. There's a question, there's an answer, there's a question, there's an answer. It is unending. And if you're surrounded by someone or people like this, it will beat you up in time. Look at another aspect of depression. Look at the middle of verse, same chapter, of verse number 9. It says, why do I go mourning? Because of the oppression of the enemy. In other words, every time there's somebody there who is opposing you, you know, whatever it is, they're there as the opposition. They're there to confront. That will lead you into depression. Look what else you see in verse 10. As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? They laugh. I mean, you still believe the Bible is true. I mean, where have you been? Did you ever go to school? I mean, what? They revile, they laugh, they criticize all day long. They question. That will just beat any believer up, any individual up. It'll throw us into depression. And what kind of people are these that are around the psalmist? People like we know. Look at the second part of verse 1 in chapter 43, he says, oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust person. They're deceitful. They're conniving and they're unjust. By that, they don't know the difference in right and wrong. They don't know the difference in that which is just and that which is unjust. Just surround anybody here with folks like this. Well, where is your God? With folks that are always opposing you and questioning you. Look what it says, all day long, read that twice. And they revile, they laugh. The worst thing to do is laugh at us. We don't like to be laughed at. Oh man, look at you. Oh my goodness. See, they revile, undercut. And they're deceitful people, empty people. And they don't know justice, the difference in right and wrong, and what is honorable, what is dishonorable, what is profane, and what is of God. See? Surround us like that, folks, ladies and gentlemen, and it will beat you down and you will be depressed. This is the psalmist, is it not? This is the psalmist. In the Wall Street Journal this week, I happened to look at it. And it pictured four individuals that will destroy any meeting. Ever been in meetings of all kinds? We go to little meetings. You could have these four individuals will destroy any meeting. Look at them on the screen. First of all, there's the jokester. You ever been in a meeting with somebody like that? The crime is they assault with deadly punchlines. Look at the modus operandi. How do they operate? Cracks jokes. Appropriate or not, and waits for the response from the other workers. The level, look at it, misdemeanor, nuisance. Know anybody like that? Getting together, here's somebody who's always got to be cute or fine or have a perch line or one up everybody. That'll destroy any meeting. That'll destroy any. Look at the next kind of person we have here. Crime. This is a dominator. Greatly overestimates value of his personal opinions. Modus operandi, disrupts discussion and includes information overkill. Know anybody like that? Look at the level. First degree nuisance. Know anybody like that? Are you like that? Look at the next person they presented. This is the naysayer. Crime. premeditated negativity.
Oh, yeah.
Waits until consensus is almost reached and derails a meeting with major objections. Level, first degree nuisance. Know anybody like that? Are you like that? Look at the next kind of person we see. The rambler. Oh, I love this. Crime. Inflicts death by boredom. Modus operandi. Takes discussion to faraway places. To people forget why they're there. Second degree nuisance. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. You work for somebody like that. You work with somebody like that. You have people like that working for you. You will be surrounded by depression a great hunk of your life. And if you're married to somebody like that, God help us all. Now, folks, look in the mirror and see if one of those sort of fits you. If you are a depressor. And with determination and God's grace, you and I can change. And that's the good news. So a lot of times people depress us and circumstances depress us. Let me tell you what's depressing me right now. This is not a political statement. If you interpret it like that, you didn't listen. It's going to sound political, but I assure you it is not. But it depresses me. When I see on television someone of my profession, and they say, I am an evangelical Christian, but I don't see anything wrong with same-sex marriage. That depresses me. Why? Why does that depress me? Now, understand. Anybody can live any kind of lifestyle in America they want to live. We are a pluralistic society. As long as it doesn't break the laws of our land, that's the freedom that we enjoy. I understand that. That's who we are.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Whoever wishes to become great among you, said Jesus, shall be your servant. Matthew 20:26. Jesus told his disciples that true greatness comes through serving others. This type of serving faith models the lifestyle of self-sacrifice that defines all true disciples, all true followers. When we give ourselves to service of others, lose ourselves. We are carrying on the example established by Jesus, who said he did not come to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many. So, look for opportunities to give yourself away this week, today. You'll experience the fullness of life that comes only when we walk in step with God. And who knows, someone might even see Jesus in you.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope the Holy Spirit is moving through today's message to help you in your own winning walk with Christ. And we want to help you even further by sending you Dr. Young's booklet, Loneliness. You were created to enjoy a life of fellowship and fruitfulness, but so many people today feel trapped in an isolated existence. Discover how you can break free and step into the life of a loving community God wants for you with this helpful resource from Dr. Young. Loneliness is our special way to say thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now to give and request your copy of Loneliness. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. Thanks for listening today to The Winning Walk. Join us again tomorrow to hear more proven truth from Dr. Young on how God can liberate you from the grip of depression.